Tomorrow on Radio 4, Tallulah the Blaze remembers. The celebrated socialite recalls her lifelong friendship with Ivor Novello.
What do I remember about Ivor Novello? Well, I remember that the one thing I always expected from Ivor was the unexpected. I vividly recall one of his parties when I and some other famous people were being delightfully loud, and Ivor came across to me and, with that marvelous way of his, pushed me down the stairs. But then that was Ivor all over, mad and spontaneous. He had a wonderful way with language. He would give people wonderful little pet names like Buffy and Dodo. Mine was Gatecrasher. "Hello, Gatecrasher," he used to say, and I would laugh. I remember only too well the last time I saw Ivor. His dog had just bitten me on the calf, and as he stroked it and gave it a biscuit, I said to him, "Ivor," I said, "sometimes I think you almost love that dog more than you love me." And Ivor just looked at me, and he smiled. That sad, funny smile. But then, deep down, I think he was sad. Often I would arrive, and I would think, how sad he looks.
That's Tallulah de Blaze remembers the memoirs of a gatecrasher. Tomorrow at 9. But now... It's time for the Million Pound Radio Show. Please welcome your hosts, Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel.
Good evening. In tonight's show, the easy way to lose unwanted hair, work at Windscale.
And also in tonight's show, we'll be examining the world's great mysteries like where is Atlantis, who built Stonehenge, and what does Kenny Lynch actually do?
Well, this week, Andy and I have been out on your behalf reviewing the latest films.
That's right. In fact, Nick went to see the latest James Bond film. How do you rate it, Nick?
That's right. Oh, it's terrific.
Yeah? What's Roger Moore like in it?
Oh, he's brilliant. Yeah. You know, he does the lot. Awake, asleep, half awake, half asleep.
He's Mr. Versatile, isn't he?
Mr. Versatile, yeah. What did you go to review?
Well, I went to see the latest Michael Winner vigilante movie. It's called Jesus, the White Avenger.
Who plays Jesus?
Charles Bronson. Brilliant. He plays Jesus, who rounds up a gang of 12 martial arts experts and goes looking for the man who killed his cousin, John the Baptist.
So it doesn't adhere strictly to the Gospels, then?
Not strictly, no, no, no. And personally, I suspect that Tina Turner's portrayal of the Virgin Mary, you know, could offend a few people, I think.
What's on with it?
Oh, one of those films first shown on Channel 4.
Uh-huh, what happens in that?
Well, nothing, but it's beautifully shot.
Tell you, the best film I saw this week was Catastrophe.
Catastrophe.
Yeah, it's one of those disaster movies. It's about a power station that blows up, and a fragment of it goes through the windscreen of the first passenger space shuttle, which plummets into the Atlantic, drops 20,000 fathoms, and crashes into a nuclear submarine.
Easily done, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hate disaster movies.
Why?
Well, they're Marxist propaganda, aren't they?
You're kidding.
Now, think about it, right? Airport, the Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno, they all work on the same principle, namely that you get lots of rich people together in one place and then kill them. It's a sort of divine socialism.
I've never thought of them like that.
Yeah, but it's part of the Marxist media conspiracy, isn't it, eh? Like Question Time.
Hey, we're Robin Day?
Red Robin, yes.
Red Robin?
So Robin Day is a subversive, isn't he? He deliberately sets out to discredit the government by repeatedly having Cecil Parkinson on the programme. Yeah. And when he can't get Cecil Parkinson, he gets Edwina Curry MP, doesn't he?
Edwina Curry MP.
Fact, Edwina Curry MP is a Soviet mole planted by the KGB to ensure that nobody ever votes Conservative again.
It makes sense when you think about it, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, exactly, you see. Okay, now...
What? You'd never believe what happened to me last week.
What?
Well, I was on the phone to a friend of mine.
Hello,
Hi, it's me. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, you know.
Weather's been a bit iffy, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It's a shame, really, because I was thinking of going to Weymouth for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Sorry?
What?
I thought I heard you sort of sigh.
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, must be interference. Where were we?
I was just saying, you know, the weather's neither one thing or the other, is it, really?
Boring.
We got a crossed line. Would you mind not listening in, please?
What a cheek!
Do you get a kick out of listening into other people's conversations?
For 6 months I've been listening to you. Prattling on to your mum, your brother-in-law, your cousin with a speech impediment, your dentist.
Now just look here.
God knows why they classified you as a subversive. What? You're hardly Bader Meinhof material, are you, eh? I mean, I thought working for the MI5 would be exciting, you know. But just listen to what you said the other night.
Well, I mean, I don't like him, but I reckon Norman Tebbit's got his priorities right.
What a wimp.
How dare you!
And then there was the Wednesday evening.
Did the shopping. You know, bought some veg and some sheep's brains from Sainsbury's.
I can't take that back to MI5, can I?
This is outrageous!
Suppose I could edit them together into something like...
I reckon Norman Tebbit got his brains from Sainsbury's.
That is out-and-out distortion.
Go on, say something fruity. Say Mrs. Thatcher's got a big bum. Go on.
Mrs. Thatcher's got a big bum?
That'll do, thank you.
Oi! This is appalling. I've half a mind to contact someone like Esther Ranson.
Oh, lovely.
Mrs. Thatcher has half a mind like Esther Ranson.
Why are you picking on him like this?
Because he's a classified subversive.
Why am I classified subversive?
Because your eyebrows join in the middle.
There's no reason to bug people.
I am a free citizen.
Oh, don't get paranoid. I'm bugging next door's phone as well.
This is the police state. It's 1984.
Gay, you know.
The tentacles of Big Brother reaching out. Is he? Really? But he's got two kids.
Smoke scream.
What's wrong with you? Why do you want to do a filthy job like this?
Well, I don't know. I suppose I'm a basically malicious person. I used to be a left-back for Leeds United.
Now, I think I remember him. He used to go up the corners and poke the goalie in the eyes with a sharp stick. Still, you being bugged, Dave, what a turn-up.
Yeah, well, you know... Once you're classified as subversive, yeah. Once society's running scared of you, you know. You been bugged?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Huh.
And now, cause of the week.
You're listening to the sound of a baby seal. The seal, of course, a threatened species whose numbers are dwindling dramatically. Sue Bayliss, you're the chairperson of Save the Seal. Hello. Perhaps we should begin by reassuring listeners that the seal here in the studio is not suffering any distress.
That's right.
Now, exactly why are these exquisite creatures in danger?
Well, it's because of man's barbarism and greed. I mean, they're slaughtered in their thousands by unscrupulous murderers.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, we think it's disgraceful that so-called human beings are allowed to massacre these wonderful animals.
Just for their fur.
Exactly. Yeah. Just for £400 a pelt. I mean, how can we call ourselves a civilized society when this sort of...
£400?
Yes, an absolute pittance, isn't it? And when you consider how much humanity is the poorer by the death of these creatures.
Quite, yes. Sir.
The thing is, until there's international legislation...
£400 for the whole pelt, is that what you said?
Yes, for the whole animal. These hunters butcher the seals and then skin them and...
How exactly do they butcher them?
Well, with clubs. But the point is...
Well, any old heavy bit of wood would do, I suppose.
Well, yes. But look, I don't think...
And when they've got these pelts, where do these bastards, I mean, where are they going to be sold? At some market, I suppose. Is there one in London, for instance?
Yes, there's a fur market in the West End where these traders in death peddle their obscene wares.
Mm-hmm. And this death row, how would you get there from Edmonton? If you were one of these butchers.
Well, I don't know, but the whole question is a moral one. Has man the right to slay his fellow creatures merely for commercial gain?
Well, quite. Thank you, Sue Bayliss, for bringing us this exquisite creature. If you want to catch the rest of the show, you're welcome to leave him in my dressing room.
Oh, it's okay. I've got transport waiting.
Ah, good. Yeah, Nick, I went to visit my granny this week.
Yeah, where was that?
In hospital. She had an accident.
Oh, no.
Yeah, unbelievable. Open manhole, no cover. She BMX'd right down it.
Oh.
Anyway, you know, I went to visit her in hospital. Is this inquiries?
Might be.
I've come to see my grandmother, Mrs. Atkinson. I wonder if you could tell me which ward she's in.
God knows.
What am I supposed to do?
You could try Ward 4. They tend to put the older patients in there.
Why, is it quieter?
Could say that. It's next to the mortuary.
So I went hunting for Ward 4. I got hopelessly lost.
Weren't there any signs up?
No. So I wandered into this sort of clinic thing, and a sister came over to me and said...
Name?
What?
Your name.
Oh, Hamilton.
And exactly what venereal complaint do you suffer from?
No. Actually, no, there's nothing wrong with me. No, I'm just visiting somebody.
Of course you are. Don't worry, Mr. Hamilton. We're all adults here.
No, you see...
Now, you just go in that waiting room and sit down where all those people are, and one of our highly trained staff will come in and call out your name in a very loud voice.
Well, eventually I escaped, you know. Somebody inadvertently blurted out the word AIDS, and I got away in a stampede. So I went looking for Ward 4 again, got lost again. Then I bumped into the Minister for Health, who was on a whistle-stop visit.
Hello, marvellous to see you. And what do you do? Splendid. Keep it up. We're right behind you. Mustache, it's been a real privilege. I've learnt so much. Thank you. Goodbye.
And then off he shot on his roller skates. So I wandered into this room to sort of ask the way, and there was all mud and straw on the floor.
Good God, man, you can't just wander in like that.
Oh, sorry.
Haven't you been in a progressive childbirth unit before? Put those Wellingtons on.
Oh, the pain!
Yes, all right, Mrs. Thompson, bite on this bit of bark. Now, what do you want, man?
Well, I'm looking for... Is he all right?
What? Oh, him? Oh, yes, he's the father. Bit of a sissy, I'm afraid.
He looks terrible. Perhaps if he got some fresh air.
Certainly not. He's witnessing the birth, whether he likes it or not.
Oh, is that why you've lashed into the instrument trolley?
Yes. He's tried to make a run for it 3 times already.
All right.
What was it you wanted?
I'm looking for Mrs. Atkinson, my grandmother.
Oh, a wrinkly, right. Well, look, try Ward 6. They often bung the wrinklies in there.
So did you find your gran?
Well, yeah. By mistake, they'd put her in the children's ward. Yeah. Decided she was a kid, you know, suffering from premature ageing.
Uh-huh.
Pumped her full of rejuvenating hormones and then sent her home.
Blimey, I bet that's messed her up a bit, hasn't it?
Well, she's okay, but my granddad's collapsed with exhaustion.
I went to hospital the other day, you know, after I got mugged.
You're kidding? You got mugged?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Well, did they take anything?
Okay.
What?
That's my judo.
What?
I said, just my judo kit.
Judo kit?
I was on my way to my judo lesson when I got mugged, Andy. But they never gave me a chance.
Oh, what, they just leapt out and whacked?
No, they never gave me a chance to change into me kit. I'd have murdered him, Andy. I'd have murdered him.
Hey, whoa, don't upset yourself, all right, mate? And now we have a...
Excuse me, Andy.
Excuse me, sorry to interrupt.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Is the owner of a Hillman Avenger registration number JUD126F in the building, please?
Why, is it parked on a double yellow line?
No, worse. It's got a car sticker in the window.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I hate car stickers! Every time you get caught in a traffic jam, the car in front has one of those really stupid, irritating stickers saying, if you have the time to read this sticker right to the end, we must be stuck in a traffic jam. Honk if your horn's not working. Christians do it for charity. And next to that, another sticker, a great big poster of the Desiderata in day-glow orange with a silhouette of that slushy couple who do all the adverts on TV for the terrible love song compilation albums. Remember, you cannot buy this record in the shops. Of course you can't. It's crap. You'd be too embarrassed to ask for it. And next to that, the obligatory wildlife park sticker. We've seen the sparrows at Round A Park Leeds. Why? This car may not be fast, but it's paid for and it's in front of you. No hand signals, driver picking his nose. And then finally, you overtake it and you see a sun visor across the windscreen. Barry and Elaine can't see a damn thing because of all these stickers.
Mushtaq, the studio doorman.
Well, we're about halfway through the show.
In the second half, Benny Green will be talking about something that happened after 1948. Radio first there.
Yeah. But now it's time for my in-depth probe.
Andy Hamilton, out and about.
Who plans our cities and for whom? Who, for instance, plans London? Who designed Birmingham and is he still at liberty? I'm in the town planning department of a major urban council. Colin Broadbent, planning officer. Perhaps you and your colleagues could explain why this room is taken up with this large scale model.
Well, basically, this is a model of our new prestige development scheme, and the centrepiece of the scheme is this magnificent building here.
Oh, yes, very, very impressive, sort of futuristic structure.
Yes, superb, isn't it?
Absolutely superb.
Superb, yes, yes. What is it?
Well, we're not quite sure, but we think it might win an award.
Oh, right. But what about the human cost of urban planning? Margaret Bentley is 92. Margaret, how do you find living in the city?
Oh, not too bad, because the council gave me a granny flat. Just me and 48 grannies.
Yeah. Isn't that a bit crowded?
Well, we are packed a bit tight, but at least it means we can't fall over. Because if you fall over these days, nobody cares. I got knocked down in the shopping centre yesterday by a hit-and-run skateboarder, and nobody lifted a finger.
Well, didn't anybody help you?
No! Oh, except a nice man from... Oh, what was it now? Oh, yes, Exit. He gave me one of their brochures. I think it's a mail order catalog.
But how about the planners? Couldn't they help foster a sense of community? I asked Colin Broadbent.
Oh, we're doing that. I mean, look at this model. See this residential block here, Goose Green Towers. It's got lots of communal facilities, shops, pubs.
Toilets?
Yes, there are lifts here. Here. And the whole block is... Oh, it's collapsed.
It's just a heap of bits.
Well, never mind. We'll leave it where it is and call it an adventure playground.
And so we look for answers as the debate rages on. This has been Andy Hamilton, Out and About. With us tonight, we have Professor Davina Dalton. Good evening, Professor.
Good evening.
And the Professor is going to introduce us to the therapeutic use of hypnosis. Professor.
Well, hypnosis is...
Excuse me, Professor.
Yes.
If I were you, Nick, I'd keep a bit more of an open mind, actually, because hypnosis could help you with your particular problem. Sorry, Professor, you were saying...
Problem?
I haven't got a problem.
Yes, sorry, Professor. Well, if you don't mind my saying so, Nick, not realising you have a problem is, in fact, part of your problem. Sorry, Professor, you're a slack.
This problem I don't realise I've got. What is it?
Exactly. Now you see with hypnosis,
could... I'd be no good for hypnosis. I'm not at all suggestible, you see.
As you can see, Nick is completely in my power.
Yeah, but how can we be sure he's hypnotized?
Well, you see, he's got this blank, mindless expression.
Yes, but how can we be sure he's hypnotized?
I'll prove it. Nick, you are... happy. You are tired. You are Scottish.
See you, Jimmy.
You are a werewolf. You are a Scottish werewolf.
See you.
You are yourself.
Now, that is amazing.
Now, by taking him back through his life, I can discover where his problems originate. Psychologically speaking, what exactly is wrong with him?
Well, everything, really.
I see. Nick, listen very carefully. We're going to go back through your life, through all the traumas, stopping off at whatever age I say when I click my fingers. Okay? You are 6 years old.
Hello, Grandma. I didn't expect it to be you at the front door, because when Mummy said you were coming, Daddy said you'd probably fly in through the window on your broomstick. Now!
You are 6 months old? What are you thinking?
All history is the history of class struggle.
What else are you thinking?
I'll wait till she picks me up, then I'll throw up down her back.
We don't seem to be unearthing anything very startling, Professor, do we?
We need to probe deeper, so what I'm going to do now, for the first time ever on radio, incidentally, is take the subject back beyond his birth, beyond the womb, and into one of his previous lives.
Incredible.
Okay, Nick, listen very carefully. You're going to regress into the life you had before this one. Okay, Nick, what year is it?
I'm not sure. I think it's 1942.
Where are you?
I'm at the bottom of the sea.
Are you in a submarine?
No. I'm a crab.
A crab?
A crab, yeah.
How does it feel being a crab?
Well, it's a bit dull, frankly. I've been stuck on me back for the last 3 days. Wiggling me legs like mad, but no one's paying a blind bit of notice. Oh, no! A squid spotted me! I'm in danger! Help! Help!
Okay, Nick, you're safe now. I want you to regress even further to a previous life, preferably not as a crustacean. Okay? What year is it?
1912.
What is your name?
Captain Robert Falcon Scott.
Scott of the Antarctic. What a break.
Where are you?
We're in our tent. There's a terrible blizzard blowing. My God, we're exhausted and cold.
Are you hungry?
No, no. We've just finished eating.
What did you eat?
Oh, some salt biscuits, raw pemmican, and porridge made from oats.
Oh.
Yes, well. Yes, well, his gammy leg was slowing us down. It was either him or eat one of the dogs, and it wouldn't be British to eat the dogs. Wilson's busy making up some cock and bull story about Oates striding heroically out of the tent. Truth was, we marinated him in a rather piquant...
I think we better go around.
You will remember nothing.
You see, I'm just too strong to be hypnotized, you know what I mean? Besides, I've got no problems, no traumas.
What, none at all?
No. Well, just one.
What?
That's silly, really.
Well, go on.
Well, it's just that if ever I lie on my back and wiggle my legs in the air, I feel really panicky.
Oh, right. Tell me, Professor, could you send me back into a previous life?
Well, Andy, not only could I transport you back into one of your past lives, but I could arrange for us all to come with you and experience what you are experiencing.
Amazing.
Oh, the advantage of radio. Okay, Andy, let's all go back. Back, back through the mists of time.
The harp is a basic essential, is it?
It is a flashback, yes.
Oh, I see.
You are going back. Back, back. Where are you, Andy?
I'm in a stadium. A huge stadium. I can hear the crowd. Thousands roaring in expectation. It's a bull ring. It's a bull ring. Any moment now, I'm going out there. Oh, wait till the finish. I'm waiting. Me and two others, we're waiting. You nervous?
Yeah.
Not enough.
This is the worst part, isn't it? The waiting?
Yeah.
It's definitely the worst part of being a bull. Well, almost. The actual worst part of being a bull is going out there and having a spear stuck in you.
Oh, mind your own.
Sorry, sir. How many cows you had then?
Oh. About 946. How about you?
993.
Hmm.
What about you?
642.
You're not gay, are you?
No, I'm a normal red-blooded bull. It's just, you know, I'm not so keen on casual relationships.
Ooh! I'll get him.
Well, it's just that I feel there should be, you know, a spiritual sign.
Well, that's the tapestry of life, isn't it? We're born, we lamb a few hundred cows, and we're packed off to Fray Bentos.
With a spear between our shoulders.
That's right. Actually, I've been thinking about that. Now, see, I was watching the last bull who was out in the ring, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, when you go out in a moment, what are you going to do?
Well, I'll sort of pour the dust in my hooves a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Snort. Then I'll charge that annoying red sheet thing they keep slapping in your face. It really irritates me, you know? I mean, why don't they just bung it in a spin dryer instead of all the flap, flap, flap? And they always whip it away the moment you get there.
Yeah.
And they know how we bulls hate the colour red.
Well, that's right.
I had a red cow once. It was horrible.
Yeah, never mind that. Listen, now listen, right? When you charge the big red sheet thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Just try aiming about, 3 feet to the left.
Well, I'd miss it then, wouldn't I?
Yeah, but you lit the big puff in a spangly jacket. Well, I don't know. I mean, try it. The sparkly ponce might drop the red sheet on the ground, and then it'll be easier to give it a good goring, won't it?
Well, that's where you're wrong, Clever Cogs, because how are you going to gore the red sheet when you've got a sparkly ponce stuck on the end of your horn? I'll stick to what I know best, if you don't mind. Anyway, I'm going to nail that red sheet today. I can feel it in my bones.
Yeah, that's what they all say, mate. Yeah. You're on.
Jim Mel.
Right, cheers.
Break a leg.
Can you see what he's doing?
Yeah, he's warming up. He's chasing the horses. Oh dear. Oh, he's got his horns stuck in one of the advertising hoardings, yeah. The picadors are falling about laughing. El Cordobes has sat down in the middle of the bull ring and he's reading a book. They're shouting, "Bring on the next bull! Bring on the next bull! Bring on the next
bull!" All right, Andy, you're back in reality now.
Shame, because I quite enjoyed being a bull.
I know. 993 cows.
Well,
that explains it. That explains why you only go out with girls called Daisy.
I mean, that'd be silly. Well, listeners, once more, time has caught up with us, I'm afraid. On next week's show, we'll be asking, is it significant that Duran Duran is an anagram of a nerd, a nerd? And we'll be asking why Jan Leeming always puts on a funny voice whenever she says the words Arthur Scargill. Good night.
The Million Pound Radio Show was written and presented by Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel and featured Penelope Nice and Jasper Jacobs. It was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.